Welcome back to the Wild Davis Experience. We've got a very special guest today. Wait, why is my mouth is watering for this iced coffee.
Drink it, honey. I am actually having tea time.
Pinky. Absolutely. Pinky. Absolutely. MJ, how you doing, girl? You're in Los Angeles. Oh. I'm in New York. New York.
I would love to be in New York with you right now because, honestly, New York with Tommy and his family and the friends and you guys, it is always good to be in New York.
It really is. It's so crazy. Did you ever think New York City would end up becoming your second home?
No, but I'm so glad because I knew I would need a solid, valid reason for that.
Totally. I just did a TikTok a few weeks ago. Remember, you know Dorothy Wang.
Of course.
Remember Rich Kids of Beverly Hills, and now she's on Bling Empire, and she lives in New York City. And you're born and raised in L.A. I know you lived on the East Coast for a little bit, but you're an L.A. girl.
Yeah, the DMV, the original history, yeah.
I was so curious. I would love to talk to her about, like, you get the best of both worlds, L.A. and New York. You really do. You really get the best of both worlds.
It's true. You know, a lot of my girlfriends in L.A., when they couldn't find a good, solid, quality man to settle down with, they would always pack up and go to New York, and I'd be like, good luck. It's a jungle out there. If you think LA is bad, New York, they pass by so much out in the streets every day, like 100 per hour.
It's crazy. I always tell people, this is just my personal opinion. I know some people might disagree, but New York City is not a city to, like, date and settle down in. People have done it. Many people have done it. Many people have done it. I have friends who are in very loving, committed, incredible relationships, but that is not the norm. That is not the
anomaly.
Norm. It's an anomaly. I like California because you got to get in your car and go home and mind your business. That's what I... In New York, you're just among people, so it's overstimulation.
It is. And all of us in LA feel that right away. And I'll tell you, New York is a great place to go to sow your wild oats prior to settling down. It is not where you go because LA wasn't the no.
And you know what? I always say for women, I mean, I only know this because one of my good girlfriends is from the South Bay, and talking to you and my other girlfriends in LA, I have a few girlfriends who are like, they just went to the South Bay and went to San Diego, and that was a much better dating environment for them than Los Angeles.
It's more of a controlled pool because it's almost like if you think about San Diego on the map, you're in more of a bubble, whereas if you're in LA, you have access to too much periphery. So it's better for men and women to limit their options, because my husband Tommy was talking about how because of dating apps, both men and women just have it too easy to
meet
and meet and then look around the corner and see what else is coming. Like,
I will, you know, we're gonna talk about dating in a little bit. We're gonna get to the Ask YL and MJ set. I have some really good questions for you, by the way. I will say this. My dating life, I'm not going to talk too much about this, but my dating life, we'll talk about this off. I swore off dating apps and I said, I'm going to be committed to forcing myself to talk to that person. I see on TikTok all these videos where people will record someone at like an airport, at a party, at a bar, and they're like, TikTok, help me do your thing. Help me find this person. And I'm like, they're right there. Like, why don't you walk up and talk? And it's like, me not being on the dating apps right now has forced me to step my game up and put myself out there more in real life. And I just got to say, when you take the dating apps out of the equation, they're great. Don't get me wrong. But if you meet someone in person, there's so much that you can vet about someone right off the bat. Don't have to worry about on the back end. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing with the people that are doing the TikTokers that are doing that, their TikTok has replaced their friend. It's their liquid courage. It's their support system. So they're basically like trying to hype themselves. Hype me up. to get into this situation IRL. You in VR need to help me in IRL. That's what that is.
Yes. So listen, our first piece of advice for the day, if you are posting someone that you find attractive on TikTok that you're trying to holler at and you are standing within walking distance of them, please go up and speak to them, y'all. Like, why are y'all being so shy? I don't get it.
Log off and, you know, sack up.
Literally. MJ, I don't think people know this. We have literally been friends. I am actually going to say, MJ, I think it's been over 10 years.
Oh, now. Yes, it has. And you were talking about a girlfriend of yours who lives in the South Bay. First thought, anyone who is lucky and blessed enough to be someone you call a friend is so damn blessed. You are such a good time. I'm going to cry. You are such a solid, dedicated, devoted, loyal, ride or die, like, and fun and intelligent and smart. And just like when you need to like look around, I know it's a good thing I don't wear eye makeup.
Please don't do this. Come on.
Because that's what we need. What's more important than that in life? You tell me one thing that's more important than that right now, because it's a non-existent, you know? And for me, what makes the world go around, everyone has their thing that makes them tick. My thing is my people. That's what
same.
I'm for.
Yeah. We're both only children.
Yes.
And when you are an only child, and I know Shams is going to appreciate this as he gets older, but like only children have such a unique relationship with the world around them. You interact with people, I think, on a much deeper level, and you appreciate people on a deeper level, because I've always said, like, if I was like a Kardashian or a Jenner, if I'm Kylie or Kim, and I've got a whole fleet of siblings, I don't need friends. What do I need you guys for? Okay. Like, if I've got a whole fleet of siblings, I don't need no friends. You know what I'm saying? But we're kind of out in these streets, you know, we're by ourselves. Well, not by ourselves, but you know what I mean. So,
thank you. No, it's true.
I love you. You are a fantastic friend as well. You know that.
So,
and
wait a second. Let's give them the tea.
What's the tea?
So how we met. We met OTRC.
Yes.
We met in a press line, you guys. That's what OTRC is. Somehow we were supposed to go to some very special after hours, which I don't remember the name. Do you remember the name?
I do not. It was a club and meatpacking district.
Yes. So it was like a big deal. And you were like, what's up, MJ? Do you want to go to wherever? And like this very funny guy on TikTok says, he goes, when you're in your 20s and your friends say, do you want to go? You're like, yep, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to go? And then I remember like Golnessa and the rest of the Shaw's crew were like, what's up later? MJ, you've got the hook, right? And I was like, yeah. My boy Wael, he actually mentioned it. We're going to go here. And one thing led to the next. We didn't go. But the next morning, I had the most beautiful bouquet, tall and gorgeous bouquet of sunflowers at my door of my still favorite hotel in Manhattan. And you were like, I ghosted you last night, but I'm not ghosting you this morning. I'm actually sorry. And I was like,
yes,
gentlemanly stand up thing to do. Like, the shit happens. Like, who even cares about that? Like, I didn't even mind. Like, I was like, this to me is so on another level of like a man. This is like the Middle Eastern man. This is like your father in you. That's like, I don't know if she was counting on that, but I'm going to go ahead and come through with like the classiest gesture in case. And you did. And here we are.
Here we are. And for context, we were at a Nicki Minaj concert in Times Square. Remember she popped out of the box?
Yes. Oh, my God.
It was a Belvedere party or it was something like that. Nicki Minaj was performing in Times Square. I'm going to see if I can find the clip on YouTube.
Yep.
And Shaw's, you were in town, I think, doing press for the first season of Shaw's.
Amazing.
And incredible.
Yeah, and I think I had my original Sundance suitcase, and I went straight from Sundance in Park City, Utah, and took those same outfits and was like, okay, can you make these work for Manhattan? Because it's, you know, January, February, and you didn't have time to go home and repack. It was wild.
Crazy. We're going to talk a little bit more about Bravo TV in a little bit, because I want to get your feedback on a few of the hot shows that have just been on. But first and foremost, congratulations on your new job.
Oh my God, I love it so much. Look at this, what's in front
of me. Shout out to Mauricio at the agency.
I know. You know, right? What a brand he has created. And it's the vibe, the aesthetic, the level of listings, the level of the company that I'm in. When I meet people from the agency, I am just like drooling with admiration, because it's just the best of the best. And it's best so nice to be, yes, because when I got my real estate license, I was about 30, maybe in my late 20s, and my dad would buy and sell and flip. And he was like, basically like, daughter, you need to get your real estate license, because I don't need to give all this business to somebody else. I might as well give it to you. And you keep stepping in and naturally negotiating with the contractors, and you're negotiating with me. I'm like this like little, you know, his daughter standing on the side, just happened to be on the scene. And I start to like chime in, and I was like, I just got you a better deal, dad, than you were about to get yourself.
Yeah.
Like, because you're my daughter. And so,
and that's how you create generational wealth. That's how you create generational wealth. You pass it along, and you know, we love your dad. I also, it's so full circle too, to see you back in, I feel like you're back in your element with the real estate. You really are.
Yes.
You are so back in your element. You're a people person. You really are. You are a people person.
True.
I have to say this about MJ. Whether we've been in LA or we've been in New York, no matter where I've been with you, you know, when you've been on television for as long as you've been on television, it's you, you're, people are going to recognize you when you go out in the street. And there's never been a time, and even BravoCon, I had to literally pull you away, because you would just talk to everybody. And I'd be like, MJ, you got to make this, you got to make this, you got to make that. I was like helping you keep your schedule on track, but you were like, you made time for every single person who stopped by. I have so much footage from BravoCon of you just talking to the fans.
I'm a small town girl, and I'm going to tell you, I think the small town girl and the small world mentality is a really good mindset, because that's the one, you know, you and I love us, our Wendy Williams, God bless her. She always would say like, don't ask me for a selfie, but I will sit with you and have a conversation with you for 10 minutes at the grocery store, you know?
Yes. Yes. And that conversation is going to go a long way.
Yeah.
And I think for, you know, I always tell people, my number one piece of advice for people is your communication skills are going to determine how far you get in life. Your ability and how you talk to people, your ability to be able to read a room, your ability to be able to empathize with people and understand emotions and be kind and be patient. It is those qualities will serve you very well in life.
And you know, it's funny about the being in your element with real estate, because with Shaw's, they sought me out because I was a realtor. I was, you know, buying and selling there for my clients. So career driven, everything that I was why I was there. After a few years, I would watch the seasons play back and I'd be like, how come you guys didn't include my real estate career? Over and over again, the drama scenes were eclipsing following my real life. And it really, I don't mind if you want to show us at a party or on a trip or doing, you know, egg on our face, but also show what else we do. And that is one thing that I don't know if I ever had any control over, it because obviously I can't edit the show to force the producers. Maybe I could have bitched more or something, because maybe that does work. I don't know. But when you're one thing I really will never, ever, ever miss about making a TV show that doesn't stay true to my whole life and focuses on toxic stuff that's like, you know, like whenever it's like everything that we're watching now, it's toxic for the people that are going through it. It's entertaining for the ones that are like eating popcorn and enjoying it. But, you know, when we made TV, it was real. It was much less produced. They would just roll camera on us. They would let the stories unfold as our lives did. And then it became more and more like, oh, she needs a storyline. What's her arc going to be? How's this going to end? We can't follow it unless it has an ending. Like with our shit, it was like so much more like just raw. And that was what was fun.
It totally. And I always say what separated Shaw's from a lot of other television shows is that you guys were actually friends for years before the cameras ever came into your life. And I think that's why when people are watching Real Housewives of Potomac this last season, or they're watching even people have to have actual relationships. How about that? They have to have actual real friendships outside of the show or have a long history in order for the relationships and the conversations to be real.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. So I, Eagle Eye, spotted you on one of the early episodes this season of Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, yeah.
You were at the Daily Mail party for Swartz and Sandy. Is that the name of it? Swartz and Sandy, right?
Yes. Tommy and I went out for it.
I thought you looked great. And, you know, I got to tell you, I was loving the first half of this season of Vanderpump Rules. It felt so inspiring, not talking about the divorce or anything like that, but to see Tom and Tom, and they're opening this new business, and, you know, everybody's growing and growing up and moving forward with their lives. And I find it fascinating. I'm sure, tell me what you think, but I also find it fascinating that we're able to see the Vanderpump Rules cast on the other side of after being on television. It's kind of more realistic of where they're at in their lives now. Like, we're not pretending that Ariana's working at Sir anymore. Not that she wasn't, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just honestly, I think that the only way that Bravo can stay in the game of what they invented is by continuing to break the fourth wall and keeping
it
very, very real. And, you know, like when right now all the Scandoval, everyone is talking about it, Lala and Sheena and the new girl, I think her name is...
New cast members, everybody's talking about
and,
it.
And there's, of course, Kristen, Dodie.
Yep.
And I think that's a strong move because you know that Robin got burned at the stake. Robin's last name. Tell me Robin's last name from Potomac.
Robin Dixon.
When Robin Dixon decided to create what they call a paywall by discussing part of the Juan Dixon stuff on her Patreon and on the podcast, you know, we heard that, like, of course, Andy on Watch What Happens was really pissed off about that. But then here we are not a long time later where they are discussing it on all these other outlets. And I think it's fine. It's like, what are we going to do? We're going to save it for when the reunion airs. They're going to take the air out of the tires if they don't just go with everything in real time. Because we did that. We, with Shaw's, we were very, we like played by the rules and we didn't do this and we didn't do that and we didn't post a picture while we were filming. Whereas like the Beverly Hills girls, the second that they're, you know, on an airplane before they even take off for their first flight of the season, it's like airplanes and selfies and group shots and they're all hitting. And then so you kind of like get these breadcrumbs, but, you know, it's smart because we are living in real time. We are seeing stuff on social, and unless you do, the only thing I wouldn't do too much of is when Black China put all of her Robin China on Instagram. By the time it aired, it was like, well, we already saw this party.
We already saw that, right? No, that's sorry. I'm not laughing at Black China. I just did not expect you to use that. That is so funny.
Unfortunately, you know, she shared too much.
What do you think? As someone who has been on television for a long time, What do you think about how the temperature has changed on social media when it comes to fan discussions about the shows? I think it's, since the pandemic, I have noticed a huge change in how people talk about all shows, everything. I mean, everything, but specifically Bravo. Mm-hmm. What has changed for you about the way people give feedback to the shows on social media now versus before? Because my theory is that people are much more vocal. I thought what we saw happen with Lisa Rinna was a one-off. I thought the fan feedback that we saw with Lisa Rinna was a one-off. But clearly after Potomac and Vanderpump Rules, Giselle, Robin, and now Tom Sandoval and Raquel, it's no joke. I mean, people are going in. The fans are going in.
You and I were backstage in the actual moment when Lisa Rinna was like, bye, MJ. And she was on a golf cart. And our EP was basically like taking her away after she had just been booed. Now, you and I didn't know she had just been booed because we were in the... What people need to know about the Javits Center is that there's like this city within a city behind the scenes.
Yeah. Huge.
And it's huge. Yeah, so I think it's great that the audience has a voice, and if they don't want to see something and they vocalize it, they actually have the power to get through. Bravo does listen, and
they do.
They listened when it came to Ramona. Otherwise, they would have for sure brought her back. Jill Zarin just said on Jeff Lewis's show that Ramona was not invited back. Now, I saw conflicting reports that Ramona was invited back, but the way the matter-of-factness with how Jill Zarin said she wasn't brought back because of all the audience was like, don't you dare bring Ramona back, even for legacy. So I think that people should feel happy that they have
a voice,
impact, you know? And
I agree.
And the only thing that bothers me about what people on camera are doing is too much self-producing. Like, just stop it. You know, like, I do like it when I see somebody dressed up because there's a camera rolling on their kitchen, but there's times when it really gets on my last nerve. Like, especially on Salt Lake City. Like, if I like Meredith Marks, her room was right across the hall from my room. Like, I opened the
door. Yes, at the hotel, yeah.
Yes. But...
By the way, everybody, at BravoCon.
At BravoCon. But there's like some things that you guys know what I'm talking about that doesn't sit well with you when they're walking out into their kitchen counter and it's breakfast and it's like champagne crystal stemware and they're dressed to the nines. Like, so you have to, like, you can, you know, you could like play it up, but you also have to stay in a way, like somewhere in the lane of your real self. So
I agree. I was just, my last interview was with Joey Zalzieg from The Real Friends of WeHo.
He and I were just going to do Jeff's show, but Tommy had his surgery that day.
Oh, no way. Will you give Tommy my love, by the way? Please tell him I said hello. He looks great. I'm glad he's recovering and feeling better.
Does not know how to hold a camera to his face.
He does not know.
He is so much more handsome. Every time he puts a video on, I'm like, ugh, the Vita in me comes out.
And the Vita in you? I can't.
I want to tell him, like, honey, you look like you have one lazy eye. You're, like, shooting yourself from, like, some kind of, like, triple chin angle that you don't even have. He's handsome, but he doesn't know how to hold a camera.
But you know what, though? That's why Tommy is so great, though, because he doesn't even think about that type of stuff.
But I just wish that people knew that I actually did marry him for his looks.
You did. You did. Tommy's amazing. I love Tommy. When you guys are together, it's so funny. But I agree with you, my dear. I think I said this to Joey. We are having an authenticity crisis in reality television right now because people are just not giving the real thing. They're not giving what's really going on. And I don't understand. It is 2023. We know that vulnerability and being open and honest is what makes people attracted to you.
Yeah.
I'll use a perfect example. For years, I used to feel I used to always feel like I had to like follow trends that my friends were following. You know, if all my friends listen to house music, I've got to listen to house music, even though I don't really, that's not my favorite kind of music. Or all my friends are wearing these certain type of color palettes and I've got to start wearing that type. It's like, we don't have, there's no box that we all need to fit into. And what makes you unique and special is by living from the truth of who you are. And I don't understand why people who are being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to be on reality television don't know that. So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is everybody talking about Vanderpump Rules in the streets of LA? Is that just like hot as everybody saw? Yeah. What do you think is going to come out of this? And what do you think about Teddy Mellencamp saying that Lisa Vanderpump?
Honey, let me
tell you. I don't believe it. By the way, Lisa, I love you, Lisa. We don't believe it. MJ and I do not believe what Teddy said.
No.
But I just hear what you think.
Okay, first and foremost, Teddy Mellencamp got off scot-free on that Lucy Juicy Apple Goosey, okay? Because Teddy was very culpable and she played victim. And because the Housewives of Beverly Hills that season had a hard-on for LVP, they didn't bother to address Teddy's shadiness. And she was very much involved. She very much was entangled in that. And they just decided to let her off. I mean, I've seen it happen on my show where I'm just like, there's a fucking house blazing a fire right here in front of you, and you're just choosing to focus on this? Like, what? So, first of all, I think that's a rotten thing for Teddy to put out there, and I think that Lisa does not need to pay them. I think that we already know that Lisa Vanderpump is a mogul on multiple levels. You walk into Las Vegas and you are at Vanderpump Paris. You walk into what's considered Vanderpump Row in West Hollywood. And I mean, all the things, you know, she doesn't
have time for that. Do you think, I have a theory for me, and I'm just talking from my opinion. Again, when the season kicked off, I felt so inspired. I loved it. Just felt so fresh and so especially when you compare it to, you know, what else is going on in reality television. But then this got so dark. It's so heavy. I can't watch. It's tough to watch. It's really, really tough to watch because we got to get back to reality television being fun.
Are we ever going to see Tom and Sheena and any of the rest of these people, like of our VPR crew, hanging out? I mean, because I don't see it. I think they may have lost the ability to have the show that are a group of friends, because there's no more Jax, there's no more Stassi and Kristen and Brittany. And now we've got a dismantling of Tom Sandoval. I don't see how anyone is even going to want to forgive him. Because Ariana, she just has felt this, like, because Sandoval doesn't apologize because he's, you know, a narcissist. She's, instead of saying, I'm sorry, he's like doubling down and saying, like, we were a loveless, romanticless relationship. And now she's like, not for me, you know, like we were a 10-year relationship. And now she has to go back and like.
10 years,
bought a house.
And nah, I just want to be like, we need to think about
that.
That's
longer than me and Tommy, by the way, by a lot.
No, literally. Shams is not even 5 yet.
Not even 4 yet.
Like, Shams is not even 5. Like, I think sometimes we have this idea, and life is long in many ways. Like, life is long, but time goes by like that.
Yeah.
It really does. And 10 years, I mean, it's awful. It's horrible. horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, I just don't. I do think that it should be about having a good time, because if you watch,
We gotta get back.
yeah, if you watch Jersey and you're watching Vanderpump, it's like they don't have a good time. The last
No.
night's episode, they went to Havasu, they went to Vegas, and those girls were just chilling in an empty room with nobody around, no music, nothing. And I'm like, you know, this is it is dark and it is toxic and it's sad, like, because they deserve to have a good time, but there's this like haze, you know. And
Totally.
Yeah.
That's what I loved when, you know, I very specifically remember when Shaw's came on the air. It was so refreshing to see a group of friends going to Vegas, having fun, enjoying. I mean, there's always drama, but I think and this is not just on Bravo. This is a lot of reality. I see it on Basketball Wives on VH1. That this latest season is not great. We have got to get back to having fun.
Yeah, you have to figure it out.
People enjoying themselves. I want to see people laughing. You know, I was also thinking about this the other day too. I don't even care about the outfits and the glam anymore. I'm over it. I'm over it. Erica Jane, you know, listen, say what you want about Erica Jane. I'm not talking about what's going on with her now and all that. But when Erica Jane first started on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, no one was doing glam like that.
Nobody.
In any of the Housewives shows.
Definitely
nobody.
Dorit was not. Do you remember first season Dorit?
I love Dorit because I have been working on crafting an accent for 2 years now and it still hasn't worked. So when I start talking with an accent, don't you dare say nothing, okay? Dorit, I love you. I'm your biggest fan. I love Dorit.
But Dorit was not getting dressed to leave the house season of her first season.
It was different, but even this past season on Salt Lake City, we're like seeing Jen Shaw talking about getting glam.
Jen Shaw, her closet, if you go back to the season before, she had taken those $10 IKEA tables and stacked them on top of each other to make that closet. Uh-huh. Go ahead and look. The tables are called LACK, LACK, by IKEA, and she stacked them on top of each other. And then when you would stack them next to each other, you would see, oh, that's an end table on top of an end table next to an end table, and that was her closet.
Uh-huh. It's ridiculous. Nobody wants to hear about Jen Shaw talking about we have glam before we have a lingerie sleepover. And if I, you know, also, shout out to Carlos King. We're going to get into the Ask MJ and YL piece after this. But shout out to Carlos King. Y'all, no more Great Gatsby parties, please. Come on. Carlos said it. Please, y'all, there have been other eras in history outside of the 1920s.
Yes.
And also, this is my pet peeve about life in general. I just have to get this out. Forget the housewives. I'm talking about everyday life. Please, no more dress codes, y'all. I'm going to look at the camera and say this. Y'all, I buy all these cute clothes. I get them tailored. I buy all this fabulous stuff. I can never wear it anywhere because everything has a dress code. Every party, every club, every restaurant. I'm like, what is going on? I'm walking around New York City looking like I just went to Spirit Halloween.
They're like, oh, it has to be white. Oh, it has to be Gatsby. Oh.
This is great. Jungle theme. Great Gatsby. 90s party. No. Like, how about this? Nobody wants to go to a 90s party. Nobody wants to go to an 80s. Like, those days are dead. Let it go. I just want to look cute and wear, like, a fun out. I'm over the dress codes. Please.
And Melissa Gorga's disco birthday, when they were all wearing, like, the Amazon fell off a truck outfits for the 80s inspired, and I was like, wow.
Like, I'm not trying to be funny. Maybe I'm alone when I say this, but, like, I just like to be in a fabulous outfit. Like, the thoughts of being in, like, an 80s outfit that I ordered off Amazon is literally my worst nightmare. And I would ask my friends to pray for me after that.
Because that's what they do to you. They go, the producers, they're like, okay, every time that you guys get dressed, we're going to have you pull a rabbit out of your ass, and it's going to be nothing that you have, and the stores will be closed, so you cannot shop for it, because we're not going to wrap your day until 10 p.m., but you do have to be camera ready for 80s theme by 6 a.m. How the fuck are you supposed to do that? And then
it's impossible.
And then they cut so many scenes, but they want you to just keep doing all this stuff. And it's just like, they probably think that those themes sell on photo optics, right? So, and it's just like, they go from lunch to dinner to this party to that party.
Yes. The other party. Also, oh yeah, Real Housewives of New Jersey. Listen, the new season is fire, but it doesn't look like they're having any fun. We gotta see people having fun. I will say though, shout out to Million Dollar Listing LA. Okay. Great television. Yeah. Oh, that's great television. Tracy, is her name Tracy Tudor?
Tracy Tudor, yep.
Shout out to Tracy Tudor. I'm your biggest fan. You are so fun to watch on television.
Yes.
Tracy Tudor is the bee's knees. She's great, 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 great television.
And it's finally that they get a woman on that show. Hello.
Totally. And so actually, let's talk about this really quickly because this is fascinating. So when we look at the genre, so let's just look at real estate on reality television, the genre itself. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on in that world. What is your POV on how, because this is coming from someone who lives in New York. I don't think it's as interesting in New York City, to be honest with you. I think it's way more interesting in Los Angeles. What is your perspective as someone who's been working in real estate for a long time in LA? What do you think about the way that real estate in LA is shown on television?
Well, I think they should show more of everything and not just the flash, because today if you go to my page, I am literally looking for the lowest price house in the best neighborhood in LA, and I'm putting that on my page. So listen, I mean, real estate in LA is chef's
crazy.
It's the best, but you know, like, Million Dollar Listing caters to the jaw drop factor, you know, like the awe factor. And, you know, I mean, that's what these guys, that's how they roll. So I respect it. I think it's great. But I would like to see, like, I like the way Jeff Lewis does it, where he goes to regular people, like Oscar winner Mira Sorvino's house in Malibu, that her backyard basically looked like an abandoned home.
Yeah, it's real. It's real.
I liked that. I liked that because they had to make something out of a really neglected backyard, and yet we're still at Mira Sorvino's Oscar winner legend's house in Malibu.
Yeah, legend. Jeff Lewis is so great on that. I love when you're on Jeff Lewis Live. Shout out to Jeff Lewis.
Yes.
I got to tell you, I didn't watch Flipping Out that much when it was on television, but I put on Jeff Lewis all the time on the television when I'm clean. Jeff Lewis Live, you have such great chemistry. You really enjoy doing Jeff Lewis Live, don't you?
I do. And by the way, on his show, which is much more realistic, he had Anthony Anderson, and like the truth died, you know, like the $80,000 olive trees died before they even got there. And the panic on Jeff's face, like, that to me is like the real deal, you know.
But real deal.
But I do understand from a producer's perspective that it is really hard and lengthy to shoot Josh and what the Joshes and Tracy have to do, because they have to show how long it takes. Sometimes it might take 9 months for them to close something. So
that's true.
It's hard. It's a lot of pressure. You know, it takes a long time, but you know, I mean, that's what the brand of that show is. I think we should show. It's like when I was on my way to come and talk to you today, I thought to myself, random thought. We follow the Kardashians. However, what do they do for us? They make us feel bad about ourselves. That is their brand. Feel like shit. We've got all this. We'll never talk about how we look like this, but we're this rich, and keep feeling bad about yourself because that's how we roll. And then I thought, like, in the housing market, like, why don't we show what people's homes really look like? How come every single countertop on television has to be like an empty, vacant house with like maybe a refrigerator, because it's a kitchen after all, but nothing can be on the countertop? It's like, everyone is now so trained for this, but not when we used to watch sitcoms, you know, like you, like Roseanne, that show, Roseanne Barr, like it was a real interior, you know?
It's so funny that you say that, because one of the things that I sometimes have noticed watching almost any reality television show with that talks about housing is I've noticed a trend. People, tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems like a lot of these people who are flipping these houses or are doing investment properties, they're almost overdoing the luxury part. They're overdoing it. They're spending so much money. But then what happens is you're like the only block on the house worth $4 to $5 million more than the two homes next to them.
You never want to be the most expensive house on the block.
Never want to be the most expensive house on the market.
The least expensive. The principles of Monopoly is not to spend the most to live here. It's to spend the least to live here.
Literally. In my mind, no one should be putting an onyx counter in your house unless you plan on living in that house for like 10 years. Like, why else would you spend that kind of money? Right? It's such a personal... You know what? Shout out to... What's her name from Heather? What's her last name from Real Housewives of Orange County?
Oh, Heather Dubrow.
That house. I know she sold it. House is so... I'm like, she moved out of that house. That house is stunning.
What are you going to do? You're going to build it. You're going to be there. You're going to be like, you know what? Let's turn a coin and let's do it all over again.
Uh-huh. I've decided I will probably never buy a big home. I'm going to buy a hotel residence. I think that is just so freaking chic and fabulous.
It is fantastic.
All right, MJ, my dear, I've got some questions for you. People need advice. The first one is going to be about, this is my favorite topic. How do you balance times of your life when you are being very ambitious, you're working hard, you're trying to be a good wife, partner, boyfriend, whatever you may be, husband, you've got kids, you've got family, you have all these requirements, but you feel like your relationships, your friendships might be hurting, even sometimes your family relationships, your mom, your dad, people outside of your immediate family. How do you balance being ambitious in a world that asks so much of you when you also want to still be good to the relationships in your life?
Don't procrastinate. Don't overthink it. Just do it. Because I am an overthinker, I could sit home and think about what I need to do for 10 years and not do a damn thing by getting bogged down by that.
Totally.
Whenever I do what for me I've learned is if you're a morning person, get up as early as you can, get that quality sleep, but then get up as early as you can, hit the ground running, and then find ways. Like when I am in the car on my way back from an inspection and if I'm in traffic, I will use that time to catch up with my friends. And if you're a good listener, right, and you are there for your friends, they will feel that. And then if it comes down to your relationship, you do have to speak with intention. Like to my husband, I will say, and he actually taught me this. What can I do to make your day better? What can I pick you up on my... What would you like? If he loves these Yoo-hoos, those ridiculous chocolate drinks, I will stop, which is not natural to me to stop as an only child. I will only think about what I need. And you do little things for the people that care about you, that you care about, and you let them know. I don't believe in long dinners and long lunches anymore. It's like if you think that everything has to take this long, then you're never going to do it. So
that's a new one. Okay, lunches, I understand, but damn, I love a long dinner. I do love a long dinner sometimes.
I mean, how often? So if you're already struggling to get it all in, fitness, career, family, relationship, children. I mean, if you have to do all of that, not to mention everything that's waiting for you when you get home, admin, household, appointments, like...
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is impossible to get it in. So you just find ways to do it, but don't overthink it. Get it done and dress for the part, you know? The way that I feel like pep in your step is Some days of the week, yeah, some days of the week I am hiding in something I should not, nobody should ever see me in. And then other days I'll be like, yeah, I'm in my kicks, but I am also looking cute and I'm doing that for myself, you know? So
totally,
that inspires your energy as well.
For my people who work remote out there, and I work full-time remote, my advice to you, because that's a lot of things, that's a big thing for a lot of people now as you work remote. I would just put on like just a pair of pants and a t-shirt. I now get fully dressed. I put a sweater around my neck. I'll wear a jacket. I put on a turtleneck. Like, I like dress up. I go outside. I get my coffee. I go outside to get my coffee. So I'm outside first when I start my day. Like, I find when you present yourself with a really fly outfit, something dope that you love, you just feel better about yourself that day, right?
100%.
Selling Sunset, I love when they dress up all the time because, like, I get it. Like, I would dress up. It makes you feel more powerful.
Absolutely, because our brain sends us a signal when we see something that pleases us. And it's just as important as the words out your mouth are compelling, because what we say and what we do is either going to be convincing or the opposite. Like, what do you want to do? So I think it's really important. It's great for morale, not just for yourself, which is the most important, but also for what you're putting out there, you know, to
totally, totally. And this is my advice for everybody out there. I say this to all my friends. I talk to my mom about, like, I say this to everyone. People in life, the people in your life who give you a hard time about being ambitious, or maybe you're working more than normal and you can't hang out. The people who give you a hard time about that type of stuff are people who have their own agenda.
Oh, God, I got rid of that. No.
Right? The people who love and support you are going to be there for you, and they're going to understand if you can't be around for a month or two. We have so much going on in our lives. First of all, I was just saying this to someone the other day. I've got to clean up my own living spaces. I've got to manage all my stuff that I have going on in my life. Or even if I hire someone to, let's say, clean my apartment, do my laundry, run my errands, I still got to manage that.
Of course.
Do you know what I'm saying? So there are just going to be moments and times. And on top of that, I've got to work out for like 2 hours just to burn the amount of calories. Right? Sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't just go to the gym like, that's not going to do anything for me. So if you have people in your life who are giving you a hard time or getting upset with you because you can't show up to the birthday party, you can't show up to the dinner, those are people who have their own agenda. You need to surround yourself with people who are going to cheer you on and want the best for you, even if it means that they're not going to see you. Or that I've had friends literally skip birthdays all the time. I never care about that stuff. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Support your friends, encourage people to do their thing, because it's very challenging to balance it all.
I always thought about the really successful role models in my life from the time that I was a kid. It was Barbara Walters and how hard she had to work, or Joan Rivers or Lucille Ball. Like, do you think those ladies were having long ass lunches with their friends every day of the week? Hell no. They were preparing for their life. And when you do get my time, realize that is because you are important and I'm prioritizing you. So I communicate that very directly to my friends. I'll say, look, I'm not going to be able to, anytime in the foreseen future, going to be able to do what you just asked. What I can do is this. And haven't you ever had a meeting where they have a start time and an end time? You do that with your friends as well. So it's like, look, I don't have that much time, but you are important to me and I do want to see you. So can we do something from 1 to 2 or from 6 to 7? That's it. Like, oh, you also want to go for a hike around, you know, whatever canyon or Central Park. Like, let's grab a coffee and run an errand together. That is my favorite thing to date.
Same. I know. I've realized this too. If you're just going out to eat with people all the time or just going for drinks, that's not, in my opinion, you don't really form a great friendship with someone. The great friendships and the best moments I find are if you're just like hanging out at each other's homes, shooting the shit, chatting, maybe you both have your computers, you're working on some things, running errands together. That's always so fun. It's more fun in places like that.
And
it's not fun to do that in New York. But to be able to do that, Listen, if I was in LA right now, you know, you and I grab a coffee. Let's go to Target. Let's go to Ulta. Let's go to Sephora. Let's go to the mall. Like, I love that stuff. And for you as a mom, you have to be structured about your time. You can't. You literally can't just go to dinner and throw everything to the wind and say, forget it. You have a husband, you have a child, you have a business, and you have to be present in those relationships.
Yes. And that's why I don't overthink it, because I would have for sure shot myself in the knees by thinking like, oh shit, do I have the whole day for that? No, and you don't need to. So this is how you make it work.
This is how you make it work. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you another question. We have a young woman. She's living in New York City. She's 38 and she wants dating advice. You know, what's some great advice for you on how she can meet that special someone?
Okay. So make sure that you feel good about yourself. Be open to working on that. If you aren't in therapy, therapy is so amazing. It's not a 10-year long road. You can get something good out of every time you sit with a therapist. Now there's ways that you can do it via Zoom that are not expensive, something sustainable. But I think connecting with who you are, whenever I've met somebody, because I have had fantastic long-term relationships. Tommy is not the only significant relationship that I have had. He's the only one that I have wanted to marry and have children with. But I have always felt so good about myself at the time. Like, it didn't mean I was perfect and fit and my body was no. But I felt good about the things that are important. And I always want to like put this in a bottle and sell it to other women, like your directness, your sense of humor, your self-confidence, and sometimes spending more time with yourself, I need a tan. If I'm going to be intimate with somebody, I need to be fresh from the dentist. I need to make sure that I match my bra and underwear. I like the things that give you that mojo, you know? Yeah. And when you have your mojo and you have your shit together, trust me, the rest will come out. Because then you're just going to attract it.
Totally. I'm sorry. I had to laugh at fresh from the dentist. I've never heard someone say fresh from the dentist. That is so funny.
You know what I mean? Like, if somebody...
Oh, It's true.
Yeah.
Let me tell y'all. I carry this on me at all times. Ask MJ. Yeah. She knows.
We were spraying each other.
Yes, we were. I do not leave the house without it's sitting on my desk. I'm not even around anybody in my own place right now.
Yes.
That's great advice. For the next question, I think this is really relevant to your life. How do you deal with fame? How do you deal with it? One day you are living in LA, and the next, for people out there who want to pursue being in the public eye, for people who want to pursue being on reality television, how can they handle fame and money in a healthy way so that it works for them? Because you're the same exact person that I met when I first met you as you are today. That is a fact. You are literally the same in the best way.
Yeah, I think it's one very easy answer.
Yeah.
Make sure you are happy with your life without the fame, before the fame. Don't be about that, because if you are doing things for something else or somebody else, then you're not going to be happy. You're going to be on a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the only person you should be out there to please is yourself, because you are your own best friend. And the more that you live, the more that you're going to learn that you are about self-preservation, is about being able to have like the cutest conversation with yourself, because you are carrying yourself through the moment that you open your eyes and until you hit the pillow, and even in your dreams, it's like you've got to be that your own cheerleader. So just make sure that you're doing what you want that makes you happy, what everyone else thinks. Nobody cares about, and nobody cares. Everyone should be thinking about that only.
Totally. And I think we sometimes, I'm guilty of this. I think we all sometimes overestimate how much people are paying attention to us.
Yeah.
That is a, you know, we all feel like, you know, the spotlight is on us. You know, you post something on Instagram and you're like, or TikTok, you're like, oh my God, this person's going to think I'm terrible. They are thinking about themselves. Like they are, you know what I mean? I mean, there are occasions, I'm sure everybody forwards things to each other, but nobody is, I got, the best advice I ever got was from my girlfriend Arielle here in New York City. She was like, no one's thinking about you as much as they're thinking about you.
And can I just say, when you're talking about other people also, don't talk shit. Because, like, let's say after this, I go and I have lunch with Golnessa. And let's say she goes like, how is Wael? So let's say I give you two scenarios of my answer to that question. Number one, I say, he is such a light. He is so amazing. We had such a good time. Or scenario B, I go, yeah, I don't know about him. I think he's, you know, he's okay. Why would I do that? Why would you ever, ever, ever speak poorly of another person? Because you have now poisoned that person for no damn reason. And now that person has this unnecessary negativity about you. Like, when you do spread shit, I hope that karma comes back to you because nobody deserves it. When it comes to, like, people, like, let's say we do care what other people think, because why though? Is it like, for instance, if I am with my clients and they see that I was not competent in my job, that I should care about, because that's probably me, my conscience saying, girl, you need to be knowledgeable, you need to be an expert, you need to be doing well, really doing well. And then if it comes to, let's say, like, there would be a lot of shit talking on Shaw's, I would be like, you know what, Mike, fucking go take care of your own house. If you're gonna criticize me, and I'm just using Mike as an easy bait, he would be hearing, other people would be in his ear about MJ, then that would make him judgy of MJ because he was worried about something of his own house, his own glass house. So that's the reason why people do that in the first place.
So true. I'm so glad you said that. Speaking negatively about other people, about your friends, speaking negatively or gossiping with people in group settings or when you're hanging out with people is one of the most unattractive things you can ever do. Mm-hmm. And it'll make people not trust you. I have a rule about this in my life. Even if I have an issue personally, I'm going through something with a friend, I will not speak negatively about it in public. Mm-hmm. I will not speak negatively about it to other people because that's for me to handle with that person directly. Mm-hmm. I've been around people who have said negative things about me to my own friends or about their friends. And there's different standards in different cases. But I think what people don't understand is that if you're just like saying negative things to say negative things, you actually end up just looking bad yourself.
That's good squad. Yeah.
That's great advice, MJ. Gossip. I want everybody to hear me out. Turn up the volume on your headphones. Gossip is deadly. It is not good. When we were talking about hot topics earlier, these are things that are out in the world. It's entertainment. It's fun. We're talking about real life. Mm-hmm. Your real life relationships with your family and your friends. Do not talk negatively about people. Right. It just ends up making you look bad. Focus on yourself, mm-hmm. because you want to know how I judge good conversations with people when I first meet them?
Tell me.
When I first meet people, I pay attention to the topics. If they talk about themselves and what's going on in their lives, mm-hmm. and they don't direct their topics to living vicariously through other people or through other things, that to me is the sign of a good person.
That's it.
Right? Like when you and I hang, like, I just want to be clear about this too. When MJ and I talk and we're hanging out, just the two of us, we're talking about our own individual lives.
Our goals, our next thing, what we're striving for.
Absolutely. Yes. We obviously talk about entertainment, that's fine, but the majority, 95-99% of our conversations, we're talking about each other's lives.
Level up.
All right, one more question, because I know it's still early there in Cali. How can someone break into the real estate scene? They want to break into it, they're new to it, they don't have any experience, maybe they're switching careers. Mm-hmm. How do you break into, because from the outside it looks like it's full.
I'm sure it does.
Like a pool. How are there, you know what I mean? How do you break into this business?
The best thing about real estate is that everybody is always interested in real estate, even if they are not currently buying or selling real estate, right? Because we love to look at houses. We love interior design and beautiful gardens and architecture. And so what the best thing is, you open up the newspaper or the, you know, it's really the internet, and it's literally your first day that you decided that you want to be a realtor, and then you just go, okay, I'm going to pick this neighborhood where I live, and I'm going to go and look at everything that's in my block. What you are doing is you are familiarizing yourself with the market. You are becoming a local of what's going on around you. When something sells, how much did it sell for? Did it sell above? Did it sell below? Who bought it? Who's selling it? When was it on the market before? You've got so much that you can do before you even pass your real estate exam, before you even belong to a brokerage firm, that you are beginning the process of educating yourself on the inventory.
Yes.
You can't talk about it if you don't know it, and if you can't sell it if you're not familiar with it. So that's a really fun part of the job too, because you're going to go around and then you're going to start to have that discerning opinion, because people aren't going to trust you if you don't have an opinion. And then you're going to notice, wow, this shit is hard because that one sold for that much and that one, and they look alike, but why is this one priced for so much more? You will be so mentally engaged and exhausted because you are taking in so much information. But at the same time, it's like, that's University of Real Estate in the streets, you know, you really experience it. So yeah.
Understanding the comps, understanding what the homes in the neighborhood are selling for. You know, I've always said this, when you work in real estate, you're on the front lines of what's going on economically. Mm-hmm. You really are. It gives you a firsthand insider knowledge because people are spending big dollars for these homes, mm-hmm. big or small, you know, whatever the home size may be. But it actually puts you on the front lines of what's happening economically. I think you're able to spot what's coming down the pipeline, you know, right? Like you can see the rises and the falls. It just gives you
the loan, the prime. I mean, it is. And it is, of course, arguably the best place to park your money for investments. So, yeah, I think it's exciting because if I told you that, you know, I want to start today, I could tell you, you absolutely can.
You absolutely can.
You absolutely
MJ,
can.
We're going to have to do this again. This was so, we could talk for hours. I know. We could talk for hours.
Let's do it again.
Where can people find you online, MJ?
All my handles are Mercedes Javid and, you know. That's it.
I'm going to link them.
Yeah.
Love you guys.